Top of the morning to you. Have you ever been to Ireland? It's a beautiful place to visit. And you know, it's also green. And we like the American green to come too, you know, because the tourist business is very good in Ireland. And if you know anything about Ireland, you know St. Patrick was a real Christian. And he evangelized almost the whole island of Ireland. So I think the Irish accent has quite a nice look to it. I like hearing it. But the Scottish, if you go into Scotland, you'll hear this, you can hear an accent so straight, you can barely understand what they're talking about because it was, it's just broad and Scottish accent. And you go, well, I can't quite hear it, Mike, what are you talking about? It's a strong brogue when you get really in the depths of Scotland. But see, we're more used to the Scottish accents we hear on TV. Captain, Captain, we've got a disaster. The Klingons have captured Mr. Spock. They've given him a regression pill. And he's eating meat. He's lost his logic. He's gone dancing with Uhura. So there's that accent as too. And the British, you know, they're very rich, but they can, just their very accent is kind of condescending. How dare you interrupt me at tea time? Can you be ever civilized? That's kind of accent. Pick that. The one I like better, though, because my mother was Australian, is the Australian accent. Because, well, you know, I like it better, Mike, because, my mother was Australian, my mum. And you hear Australians, they kind of talk, they kind of drag it out. Now, why in the world am I talking about accents today in a sermon? Well, we're going to talk about hearing God's voice. And part of hearing God's voice is discerning who's talking to you. Now, how would you know about those accents? You only know about them because you study them. You know, when you hear that, you say, wait a minute, that's Australian, if you've heard it before. That's a Scottish, or you would probably go into a Scottish, be this brogue, you wouldn't hear unless you go to Scotland. I've been there, you know, and it's very hard to understand them, but that's what you'd say, okay, that's them. So God has a voice too. And the only way we're going to be able to learn to discern it is to start listening for it and also identifying other voices that we've heard that aren't him. Because we have a little problem. Satan the devil who deceives the whole world, Revelation 12:9. It's not just for the world, but he also deceives Christians quite a bit. So in talking about this subject, let's understand a couple of things about it first. There are many teachers these days who actually say that God doesn't speak anymore. They say that if you say God speaks, it's a violation. You're violating the sufficiency of Scripture. They say the Bible says everything. He's not going to say anything else. And you learn it from the Bible, and that's it. Well, first of all, I would say God is sovereign, and he can do what he wants to do. And I don't read anywhere in the Bible where he says he won't speak to somebody. So I don't think I can limit God by saying that. But now let me just say, I'm not talking about his audible voice when I talk about hearing him. Well, you may hear that. I've never heard it. But we're talking about getting information from him, communicating with him. So when we talk about that, we can look at Scripture, because I think it says quite the opposite. In fact, in Job 33:14, we read, "For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it." You know, that's one of the problems. We don't always perceive it. "In a dream, in the wisdom of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction." Psalm 85:8. "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly." So when God is speaking to us, normally, unless we're being rebuked and chastened, he's speaking peace to us. He's going to give us peace. We start communicating with him. Whatever the trouble is, whatever we're trying to do, we go before him and we're going to get that peace. Here it promises that he will speak peace to us. Now in Jeremiah 33:3, and I prayed this many times, "Call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you did not know." And I prayed that a lot when I prepare teaching or preaching. I want some things I did not know, because there's an awful lot I don't know. But he knows it all. But when you read something in the Scripture, and understand this, that purposely you won't understand it. Purposely you'll say it contradicts when it doesn't, because things in the natural that seem to contradict don't contradict in the spiritual realm. So you can't figure it out. So you can ask him. Just don't keep asking. If you don't get the answer, don't keep saying why, because that is the road to trouble. When you question God too much, you then question him beyond what you should. You're on the road to spiritual trouble. Now, James 1:5 says, what? "If one lacks knowledge and wisdom, ask of God, who gives liberally," means generously, by the way, generously, but but to all without reproach. In other words, he doesn't say, oh, it's you again asking for help. Oh, you're a pain in the neck. He doesn't say that. He doesn't reproach you. He's there to answer you. But you can't, he goes on to say, you can't be double-minded. You've got to believe you're going to hear from him. As to your faith being unto you. Psalm 32:8. This is a really important scripture. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Now, let me just say that before we read the rest of this. Guiding you with the eye. Now, think about this for a minute. You have children, or you've been a child at one time. Maybe you're sitting at the table, and maybe you've got guests there, and you start fussing. And mom looks over at you. By the way, I said mum earlier because my mother was Australian. We used to call her mum. I got made fun of a lot in school, by the way. I've got a mum. Okay. Mom looks over at you. And she gives you that look. And that look says a few things to you. It says, you know what? If you don't settle down, you're going to get it, but not while the guests are here. When they leave, then you're going to get it. Okay? So you pick that up. You go, oh, I better settle down. You know, this is not good. Getting mom ticked. But God's saying something very interesting here. He's saying he's going to guide us with his eye. Well, there's a spiritual understanding of this, right? Obviously, I don't see his eye, but there's a guidance we're getting, like that same kind of communication you would get from your mother, father, or you would give to your child or whomever it may be. Or sometimes they say, if looks could kill, right? You look over at somebody because they did something. Hopefully you shouldn't have done that. You can repent if you did that, but whatever. If looks could kill, people do give people looks. There was actually somebody made a complaint about somebody and tried to have them arrested because they looked at them badly in the car. That's another story I read about. So you can communicate a lot with your eyes, right? The eye is a lamp of the soul. He goes on to say, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Now, I've thought about that scripture quite a bit. Horses don't normally just come to people. They have to be broken in. Eventually, they will. So, but typically, those animals won't come to you, right? They don't. He said, don't be like that. Don't be one of these people just living life, going through it. You're a Christian, but you just don't really want to come to God. You're not listening to him. You're not looking for guidance. Or maybe you've given up because you read that, well, he's not guiding us anymore. Maybe you said, well, what's the sense? No, these are the promises for you. Don't be like that. Come to him. Voluntarily ask him. Yeah, it's a spiritual thing. Yeah, maybe you don't get it. You may not get it, but you can get it. Start thinking the way he's saying he's going to communicate, and he will. But if you're saying, as your faith be unto you, if you're saying, I'm not going to hear from him, well, then maybe you won't hear from him. Believe he's going to guide you with his eye. He's going to speak peace to you. He's going to do all these things. He will. Now, having said that, about God speaking to us, as someone who's been a minister in the past, and a pastor in the past, and I still have a website, I get questions and that sort of thing. Whenever somebody says to me, God told me, I immediately cringe. Why? Well, because normally they're trying to justify something. But the reason I cringe is because rarely did God talk to them. Well, John, you just got finished saying how God talks to us. Now you're taking all that back and saying he doesn't? No, I didn't say he doesn't talk to us. I'm saying that he doesn't talk to you a lot of times when you think he did. And so there's a lot of deception because Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, just because you're saved doesn't mean your heart got, you know, you're still subject to the world and the deception and the flesh and the devil, all these things. There are a lot of voices out there trying to confuse you. So you can have a little test for this. I have a test sometimes I go through with people. First of all, I say, and this is pretty elementary, this is the beginning, right? Is it biblical? Is it biblical? So I got an email from somebody when I was teaching, and on my teaching on my website. She asked a question. She said, you know, we were married, and we got divorced, and now we're back together again. We're living together. Do we have to remarry? I thought, is this a trick question? You were legally married. You got legally divorced. Now you're living together. You're fornicating. Yes, you have to get married again. She wouldn't have been asking. I don't know why she asked me. I could have, you know, after reading my teachings, I'm surprised she asked me, but she did. I told her, yeah, you got to get married. You're fornicating. You're in trouble. Another woman said, she committed adultery, and she said, God's given me two men to love. Whew, boy, I tell you, we're talking Christians now. This is scary, right? So the other thing is it sensible? Is it sensible? Is it common sense? God gave us common sense. Don't go against your common sense. You should look at that first. Look at your environment. Look at your common sense. I know Carol and I hadn't been saved very long when this woman told us that she was going to be a great evangelist. She had four young children that she was taking care of, and she was going to become a great evangelist. I turned to Carol and I said, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me. What? Well, I had someone give me a word. Oh, brother. Okay. Well, I don't know who gave you the word, and I don't know, but you got four kids. They're young, and I don't think you're going to go off and be a world-famous evangelist. Maybe I'm wrong. So we had someone this was only a few years ago. We used to go to this regular prayer meeting type thing. People gave testimonies and all that. We went to it regularly. So there's a 60-year-old man there, and he gave this woman on the internet a lot of money. Pretty much all his money. He was divorced, and the rest of his family was very angry at him. So she had sent him these pictures. She's this 20-year-old gorgeous gal, right, in some other country. And at first, she just fell in love with him. Never met him, never saw him, but she fell in love with him. 60 years old, she's 20, you know how it is. These women can't get enough of these 60-year-old guys. What can I say? Just watch TV. See more of that nonsense. Okay. Well, if you have $1 billion, maybe they can't get enough of you. But outside of that, forget it, baby, okay? So he sent her all this money, lost a lot of money, got everybody angry at him. And he's talking to me, and he said, where was God? I said, where was God? Listen, you idiot. I didn't call him an idiot. I ministered better than that. That's what I felt like saying. I said, now, wait a minute. God was trying to tell you. Because you're giving common sense. You're 60 years old. First of all, if a 20-year-old was interested in you anyway, I'd question the motive. No offense. And secondly, this person, there's obviously a man behind it. They get pictures of models and they send them to, you know, it was some other country. Said, targeted you, buttered you up, you fell for it, and then the next thing you know, this is a typical con, I'm in trouble, would you help me, send me a little money? And then it becomes a little more money. If you send that, you're going to be asked for more. And you kept sending her money, and everything in the world would tell you it was a bunch of nonsense, and you didn't come to me, and you didn't ask anybody anything else, and now all of a sudden you're crying and saying, where was God? I say God, but say, where were you? You weren't following him. Common sense. Now, let me just say this, and I'm going to talk about a couple other situations. These are real situations, but these are people we knew that I would consider strong Christians. Lest I sound like, you know, some of these people are way out there, but there's a couple. When Obama was president, they lived in Vancouver, had a very nice home there, and all their relatives lived around them. But they moved to Eastern Washington near the border of Canada, sold their house. Why? Because Obama was going to declare martial law, they thought. I don't know who they're listening to. And they would have to escape to Canada. I don't know if Canada is much better as far as martial law goes right now. It's a pretty bad place to live as far as you're a Christian. But nevertheless, I tried to talk them out of it. And I even told them, I said, now you buy a house up there. It's not like selling a house in Vancouver. You're out in the middle of nowhere. It's going to be hard to sell that house. But they sold their house. They left. They did all that. It was just ridiculous. And as you know, Obama never declared martial law. Never did step down when he was not elected. They said he would keep trying to be the dictator. Didn't happen. All these people listen to. Now, really close friends of ours, older than us at the time, we were in Salem, Oregon. They were in a church called, it's People's Church, a big church. And someone approached them. And these were people in the church who were like the, you know, elder type people, been there a long time, had a lot of respect. And asked them to invest, if you're ready for this, in a gold mine. A gold mine, yeah. I'm not making it up. Carol will tell you. Now, I really respect these people, so people make mistakes, okay? So they invested in their gold mine, and within 2 months, the $100,000 was gone. Like that. Bang. Not everybody has that much money to invest. They were fortunate that way, but it was gone. But let me just tell you something about this. This isn't just common sense. This has to do with the Bible as well. I'll tell you why. Because this story has another aspect to it. Before they did that, They were talking to a Christian man who invested in real estate, and they had committed those funds to him. Without telling him, they went and invested in the gold mine when they got conned into that. So what does the Bible say about that? Doesn't it say something about you keep your word, even your own hurt? Didn't he give that, they didn't even give him a notice. They just, oh, sorry, we already gave her money. Well, what'd you put it into? A gold mine. So, you know, and these were people, I still respect them, we still know them. Well, one of them's gone to be the Lord. But, so it's not just that we, you know, we think, oh, how could anybody do that? We can all do that stuff. And you might look back in your life and see you did some things like that. Because I don't want to get acting like, you know, it can't happen to us. Now, another situation is we see it with these supposed leaders, these big shots. So, some of you are old enough to remember Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts declared one day that if he didn't get $8 million, God was going to kill him. God had threatened him and said, if you don't raise $8 million, I'm going to kill you. Now, the interesting thing about this story is someone gave him $8 million. I really wanted to see what was going to happen, but, you know, someone gave him $8 million. That guy had to be about as weird as, no. I'm just saying, you know, these are the big shots, and I can give you lots of other examples with big shots who say they heard God say, and I don't want to be speaking ill of everybody, I'm just giving that one example, because this happens regularly. So don't think that we got it made. Don't think it's going to be easy to hear it. Don't think you can do it without staying close to God. I had someone else ask me, this story has a nice ending. I was in another one of these Bible things many years ago. And one of the guys said, you know, I'm going to borrow $40,000 and invest it in these oil wells that have been shut down, and I'm going to make all this money, and I'm going to be able to retire when I'm 40 years old. I said, what? Now, I had my own business, so I knew a little bit about business. Oh, yeah, I'm going to borrow $40,000, invest it with these people. They're going to go back in these oil wells. It's going to pump all this extra oil because I got this special method, and I'm going to be able to retire. I said, you're going to borrow money to invest? Well, I don't have the money, so I've got to. So I told him, you know, I believe you're involved, you're getting sucked into a scam. And he got angry at me. That's normally what happens. But I said, I want to give you a scripture too. Romans 13:8 says something. Owe no man anything except to love one another. Now, it's one thing to borrow for a car or a house, but you're borrowing to invest, and I'm almost certain this is a scam. So I did a little research for him, sent it to him. He did thank me, he pulled out of it. A few weeks later, he said, it was a mistake. So I was glad that happened. I didn't have to see that, you know. Now, I've got a couple of women that they were single or divorced, whatever, who were Christians that asked me, or told me, I should say, that God told them to buy a certain house. In both cases, they were gonna buy old houses. One was in Salem and the house was 1910. And I said, you know, I don't know if I'd want to buy an old house like that. And she said, well, you know, you don't know how I feel about old houses, because she'd watched This Old House. And I said, well, let me tell you how I feel about old houses. Galvanized plumbing that's all clogged up with rust, knob and tube wiring that has to be replaced, dry rot in this climate, concrete that breaks down after 50, 75 years, on and on. So talked her out of it, but I said, you know, the last thing you need as a single woman is to get a house like this because of all the maintenance you're going to have. So both of them stopped and said, we'll buy newer houses. So they bought something that was 20 years old. So we get into these things. Now, they didn't come to me and ask me. They told me, and I, being a bold person that I am, I said, you don't want to do that. But again, we all make mistakes. We all hear the wrong voice. We all need to learn from that. And let's understand something about asking God and trying to hear his voice. Understand this principle because it's extremely important. God can give you an answer in a flash, right? The speed of light, faster than that, he can give you the answer, right? Why doesn't he? Because he's interested in the process. He's not worried about giving, he's interested in you learning to hear his voice, drawing close to him, getting a relationship strong with him. That's what he's interested in. That's one reason why you don't get it right away. The other thing is, when you're asking God, you need to just look at yourself and say, well, what kind of person am I? Am I the kind of person who goes off half-cocked and gets into weird stuff? I mean, I'm just saying, look at yourself, look at the past. Or am I one of these level-headed people that normally doesn't do that kind of thing? I mean, think about it. If people tell you that you're that kind of person, a lot of people tell you that, you probably are. So you need to even be more careful before you make these decisions. I won't make any major decision. I won't buy a car without praying. I won't do anything. Not say I'm going to hear God perfectly, but I'm going to pray about it. The other thing that's really important is you're seeking God and you're trying to get an answer on something. Or you're having a problem, you want deliverance. I would say a big question is, have you kept your relationship up with Him? Now, let me discuss something in popular culture. There is a movie called The Godfather. Remember that? Some of you. Famous movie, right? Marlon Brando. So in The Godfather, a man comes into him and he wants his daughter to be, his daughter got hurt, he wants him to get revenge on him. So he goes in and says, I want you to do this. The Godfather says this, you've known me for many years, but I can't remember the last time you invited me to your house for a cup of coffee. You never wanted my friendship, but now you want something from me. You don't offer respect. You don't offer friendship. The man finally says, Godfather, how much money do you want? I'll pay you. How much money do you want to do what I'm asking? Godfather says, what have I done that you treat me so disrespectfully? So why am I reading this? Well, you don't have the relationship with God, and now you want something from Him. Fortunately, He's not like the Godfather. But you need to understand that even in the natural realm, if you don't have a relationship with somebody and you don't communicate with them and all of a sudden you want something, it probably ain't going to happen that fast. But the important thing that he says here is, what have I done that you treat me so disrespectfully? He's trying to bargain. The Godfather has millions of dollars. He doesn't need his money. God doesn't need your bargain. He doesn't need you to promise you'll tithe from now on. He doesn't need you to promise that you'll go to church twice a month instead of, you know, once a month. He doesn't need you to promise that you'll stop, you know, yelling at your wife whenever she does something. You know, he doesn't need that. You can't bargain. See, you're presuming somehow you're going to get something by bargaining with him, and that's disrespecting him. That's disrespectful. You should do all those things anyway. But you're not going to be able to get what you want by saying, God, I'll give you something. It doesn't work like that. And by the way, as Christians, we go to God. God goes to God and he says, God, I've got all these troubles. I know I haven't been praying enough and I know I haven't been reading the Bible enough, but you see, I've got all these troubles and now I'm in a big mess at work. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I was trying to tell you about that. If you'd have prayed and you'd have been close to me, you wouldn't have that big mess at work. And now you're saying that's the reason you can't come to me, but now you're desperate you're coming? Well, if you'd just spend a little time asking me and waited on me, wait, I say, wait on the Lord, the scripture says. You know, you ask God for the answer, and you need to wait. If you have 2 weeks to get the answer, then don't expect to get the answer in a week. If you have 3 weeks, don't expect to get it. Expect to get it when you need it. Corrie ten Boom, in that book, The Hiding Place, her father said, you get the ticket before you get on the train. You get the answer when you need it. And then when you do get the answer, when you get it, don't violate the command. When you know you got the answer, do what he says. Now, sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says you're off. Sometimes he says you can't do that. Sometimes he says later, wait. But maybe you don't want to wait. Maybe you don't want to do it. Maybe you don't want to obey him. In 1 Kings 13:15, there was a prophet who was sent to do something. I won't go into all the details. And an old prophet, this was a believer now, came to him and said to him, after he had done prophesied, done what he'd have to do, he said, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place, for I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. So he had gotten a command to do what he had to do. I don't want to go through the whole details here, but this other fellow, who was a real prophet, an old prophet, actually sought him out and lied to him. He said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to the house that he may eat bread and drink water. And scripture says he was lying to him. Listen, multitude of counselors are his safety, it's true. By the same token, don't latch on to someone in the church as your guide. It's God. It's not that person. It's not pastor. It's not, you know, all his names out there. Okay? That's not your source. I mean, it's some of what your source, but don't make that person your, not your sister, not your brother, not your mother, it's God. It has to be God. And the personality like that often ends up in a cult, listening to somebody who twists things. In this case, this guy stepped out and got eaten by a lion because he disobeyed God. Well, I don't think that'll happen to you today, but I'm just saying to you, be careful. Don't keep shopping for someone to give you the answer so you can do what you want to do. That woman emailed me about getting married again, and I figured she was shopping for an answer, hoping I'd say, oh, fine, go ahead. And, you know, you don't need to get married. You're good. You got married a long time ago. Doesn't matter if you're divorced. But she didn't get that answer, and she never got back with me. So the other thing is there something preventing you from hearing God's voice besides a lack of communication? You have to search your heart. Is there something he's been talking to you about and you kind of ignored him and he's saying, I want that out of your life. You're watching something on TV you shouldn't be watching. The Bible says don't uncover the nakedness of your neighbor and you're watching naked people on TV. I know it's very common, but God says don't do that. You can block God's blessing. When that comes on you, just shut it off, my friends. When that's the kind of stuff that when I was growing up, well, it didn't exist. But nevertheless, I'm saying there are things that can block God's communication with you because you're involved in things that he doesn't want you involved in. And as Isaiah 30:21, we have a great promise. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. In other words, you're supposed to be on that straight and narrow road, right? All of a sudden, you're getting off here, you're going to hear that voice saying, hey, no, get back on that straight path. Don't go to the right, go to the left. You'll hear a word behind you. This is the way, straight ahead, walk in it. And then a promise in 91:14, Psalm 91:14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, what? And I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, we thank you for this word. And help us hear your voice and help us be obedient to it when we do hear it. And help us in faith believe that we are going to hear it because you said, you promised all these promises that you will guide us. In Jesus' name. Amen.